Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two of my favorite folks in the whole world, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends, okay? So number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me in the studio, in their own studio in Laguna Beach, California, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello, Drs.
Hey,
Jill and Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
Hey, listen, the last time we were together, I was talking about the cost of people losing weight, and I really blew it. I did a little research, and I found out how much people are paying to lose weight. Gastric bypass surgery, the average cost is $22,500, ranging anywhere from $18,000 to $35,000. Lap band procedure costs $17,500, but there's a special on right now for $9,900. Jenny Craig is food costs $500 plus a month. Nutrisystem, 4 weeks of food is $311. Metafast, 4 weeks of food, $341. And then there's a Lindora Clinic, $1,000 to $2,000. So Lose It for Life is so inexpensive compared to these kinds of programs. Please call and ask us about it. It's coming up very soon here in November.
Hey, Steve, can I add something?
Yes, please add.
You know, you can take the band or take the surgery and you get rid of the weight, but you do lose it for life and you get a new life.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about changing your whole life anyway.
A new way of living life.
That's why it's really, you know, a two for one.
Or better. We have a lot of people that lose weight. But one of the things that really is rewarding to me is to hear somebody say, I haven't lost any weight, but I've never felt better about myself. I've never enjoyed life so much. I've never, ever been like I am now, because they came in, they dealt with some long-term issues many times. Shockingly, it has to do with mother. And then they move on with their lives, whatever the weight is. I know one lady that went to Lose It for Life out at Saddleback for 2.5 years before she said, now I'm ready to lose the weight. And then she started to lose it. But she needed to deal with all those issues first. So anyway, it can really be a great program. Another program we've got coming up, Jill, is our Women in the Battle. Why do you think a program like that, a weekend,
I just think this is going to be phenomenal and help so many women, because women are so relational. And so when things happen in their relationships, even if it's not about them, we women suffer. And I think women have needed a place to come together with other women who understand what it's like to be in relationship with a sex addict.
It's going to be very powerful. Mm-hmm. And there'll be women there whose husbands are doing quite well, and some that they're not, and some have never ever gotten help. Others aren't married, they're divorced, and others this is their boyfriend or their fiance that they're dealing with.
Right.
And so if you are looking for a place of healing after being torn to shreds by someone with a sexual integrity problem, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE, 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-639-5433. We'll take a break and we'll come back with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard and your phone calls. And if you haven't checked out the new website, newlife.com, it's really easy to operate. There are four buttons. One of the four are going to get you where you need to go. We'll be back right after this. Please stay tuned.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're going to go right to our phone calls. We'll talk with Veronica from Buffalo, New York, watches us on Family Net Network. Hello, Veronica. Veronica, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Okay.
All right.
I've been married 26 years.
Okay.
We're both Christians, but my husband has not attended church except the very beginning of our marriage.
Okay.
And it's been a difficult marriage, but I could always trust him to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you there are two health issues, and I feel like these are influencing my husband's present behavior. One of them is he has a life-threatening medical issue. And number two is he has a physical issue which has robbed him of a sex life.
Mm.
And what is the life-threatening issue?
It's an aneurysm.
Mm.
Oh.
That has enlarged rapidly.
Mm.
Okay.
So he's not gifted at dealing with life. He tends to run from life. He recently purchased a sports car.
How old is this man?
Yeah.
He's almost 60. We're both almost 60.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, since he's gotten this sports car, he has been offering every woman that he knows a ride in his car. Some have taken it, some have not. There's one person in particular who's the main woman I will talk to you about. She's our age also and has a coffee shop, which he visits frequently. And she had a difficult childhood and recently ended a terrible marriage. Divorce was recently finalized.
So she's vulnerable.
Yes, she is, and he feels a burden for her.
Well, do you think they're just riding around?
Well, the one day he had planned about several days before that he wanted to go to listen to a band and told me that they were going to go and would I like to join them.
He's taking this other woman to hear a band and is asking you if you'd like to go.
Yes, like I'm the outsider.
Uh-huh. How does he know her?
She has a coffee shop in our area.
Okay.
So,
And if you didn't want to go, was he going to go anyway?
Exactly.
So yes, because he's informed you, it's okay for him to go out on a date?
He'll say, well, see, you didn't want to go if I needed to have someone who would. So, one day she had her car getting sick, so she needed a ride to work. He said, I'll take you to work, just call me. So she called him and he took her to work. Okay, fine. But he didn't say, I'm going to take her. He did it on the fly. Another day, I had to take care of two family members. My mother is elderly and my sister was injured, so I had to take care of them. When I came back, he says, well, we're going to go to her apartment. So when he talked to her, he says, well, my wife came home earlier than expected. Is it okay if I bring her?
And what was the answer to that?
Then,
Did you go?
So, you know, you can see how twisted it sounds.
Oh, it's all twisted.
Yes.
So then they went to the band, and he came back 6.5 hours later, acted like everything was right, was fine, and I was telling him it wasn't. So I kept confronting him, and he kept denying that anything was wrong. So I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to do this, and I just prayed. And the Lord pierced his heart, and he humbly repented, asked my forgiveness, and we reconciled, and he was feeling really good, feeling really close, everything's great, telling people how much I love him. So then about a week later, he had a second person that he was taking somewhere to something else, and so I confronted him on that, saying, you know, why couldn't this person do it, et cetera, and challenging his thinking. And he said, well, let me tell you something. I was supposed to go with this first person to a concert. That was his wording. I was supposed to go, but thought you might get mad, so I went to prayer meeting instead. So I tried to convince him that he doesn't need to feel responsible for every woman's needs.
Well, now, you don't think that that's really the issue, do you?
This is...
And he says that because it's not sexual, it's okay.
Hmm.
And I feel like you can be unfaithful emotionally.
Sure.
Veronica, I think you have a really scared husband. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You know, tail end of maybe some midlife stuff, usually the fear of getting older. But this is, you know, not just getting older. This is the fear of dying, you know, that could happen sooner than he planned.
Right.
So, you know, in that fear, he's acting out and helping everybody else with their needs instead of dealing with what is going on with him.
And the part that's
missing that I'm wondering about, Veronica, is where's the positive input in his life? Like, where's his group of guys?
Mm-hmm.
Where's his support group? His accountability partners, where he serves, like where's his faith walk and all of that?
Well, he has people, he has a tendency to twist the truth when he talks to people, and he has a tendency to justify his actions and make himself look right. And we have a young pastor, and because he's just recently started going to church, it's less than a year, I feel like if I were to talk to him, my husband would be embarrassed to the point where he'd stop going to church, which I think would be very negative.
Okay, but does he have guy friends?
So this pastor's father, he rarely looks up to, and
you're answering my question is that he's not in a path of spiritual growth and community himself.
No.
Okay, so that's another part of this problem. Well, let me ask you the obvious question. Why don't you just sit down with him and say, look, I'm just here to talk. I'm not here to have you talk, and I'm going to tell you some things. I know you have reasons. I know you have all the stuff that you would say, but I'm going to tell you some things about me. I do not like what's happening. It hurts me. It causes me to not trust you. It causes me to think that because you're not concerned about how I feel about this stuff, that you're not connected to me and that you don't care. And it is really, really affecting me. And I'm going to go talk to somebody about this to know what I should do because I can't get you to hear it. But if you would hear it and we could work this out, then you could go with me. So I need for you to know how serious this is.
And I see that you're really scared, and I want to be the one to be with you in this. And Veronica, the arguing about, well, this was okay and this wasn't, and I wouldn't get into any of
that.
Yeah,
that's irrelevant.
No.
It doesn't matter.
You guys
that's
are
just
separated.
A distraction.
You're separated in your relationship.
Yeah, where are the two of you and dealing with what he's going through together?
He's feeling very, very close to me, and I'm not feeling it.
Well, so, that's good for you to know that, and that's mm-hmm. part. It's good that he's close, and you could say, you know what, I'm glad that we're close because I need to talk to you about some things that are hard. And I'm glad that we're close because it seems like that maybe you might hear now and you might care. But I got to tell you what's hard because I want us to remain close. And you just let him know what this feels like.
Well, you know, I did say those things to him. I didn't talk about a third party, but I did talk to him about it hurting me and those things. And I also said, you need to choose one. And he said, you know, it's you, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, then you need to be committed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he responded very positively on that night, but it was just a short time after he was slipping back into the same pattern.
Well, that's why I was asking about he's in no path. He's in no support group. He's in, you know, not with somebody helping him that would make it have legs going forward, which is why I think ultimately you guys are going to have to go talk to somebody.
Right, and I think your method of approaching this, Henry, is really the right way, and I hope that there'll be a positive outcome there. I'm going to send you walking into walls because that one of arrogant entitlement, it certainly applies here, and stubborn resistance. So thank you, and hope that will help. Let's go to Joe from Allentown, Pennsylvania, WBYN. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. 10 years ago, my wife said to me, you need to get a life. And that came from about 10 years before that. I had an adulterous relationship with some woman. And at the period of time when she told me to get a life, I was not really supporting the family and just was not involved with the family and was detached from a lot of things.
Hmm. So, but and the family consisted of who, Joe? Her and who else?
Excuse me?
The family consisted of who? Your wife and who else?
Wife and two children.
How old were they?
Well, they at that point were teenagers.
Okay.
My one son, he was more than a teenager. He was 20 years old, and my daughter was coming to be 18.
Okay.
So what happened was, she's a DNA, a drug and alcohol counselor certified, and so I guess she was feeling that I needed to face some of my issues, so she asked me to get a life, and she was either going to leave or I was going to leave. So I chose to leave, but when I left, I was going to the Codependence Anonymous meeting, and a lady said, why don't you go to the singles meeting and get a life? Well, I did. But unfortunately, I thought I was a teenager, and I ran for about 5 years, you know, different adulterous relationships. And finally, in seven years ago, I divorced her. So I wrote her a letter and trying to, in my own way, wanting to get back. And she wrote me a letter back and said, I know you're trying to make closure, and I don't want a relationship with you now or ever. So where I'm at now is I have had restoration in my life. I've belonged to a church for the first time in my life. I have a relationship with the Lord. I have my own apartment, and I have a full-time job, and I'm 68. And I feel that there's really only one piece missing in my life. It's a decision that I need to make, and I guess I'm looking for confirmation or really somebody to tell me what to do. But I feel that I need to let go of that, that it's something that was in the past.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
Excuse me?
What's the question for us?
Well, the question is, am I on the right path by deciding to let go of that non-relationship, letting go of the past and...
Well, she says she doesn't. She says she doesn't want a relationship with you now or ever.
Right.
So what is your other choice?
So your choice is to hang on, right? And wish that she would change her mind or move on.
Right. Some person in my church told me that when I went up for prayer, they said, you know, you got a control issue there, and you have to let go of that.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're doing much controlling of her. She's not wanting to be around you.
No, she isn't.
Yeah, okay.
And for some reason, I'm fantasizing that there'd be some miracle would happen. That, you know, I pray about it, but I realize that At some point in your life, you have to face.
Yeah. Well, and Joe, perhaps you have some regret about the choices you made, and you know you need to do some more grieving about that. And
I think you're right about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't grieved that whole relationship.
Okay.
And holding on to the what ifs and the fantasies keep you from grieving and accepting the loss.
Right. Okay. I'll send you walking into walls. Justifiable resentment. It's in there. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. And when we come back, we'll go to you, Linda. So please hold on. This is New Life Live. We're listener supported. We do need your help. If you could help us, we'll send you Walking Into Walls, those five blind spots that prevent God working in your life. I think they're really, really good. It's the best stuff I've ever written about. I hope it could give you some insight. You can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Linda from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, Linda. Welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Very well. Good. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, sure.
Go Phillies, and the Giants fans are very, very mean.
Who's mean?
Okay.
The Giants fans.
Giants fans are very mean.
They were, yes.
Okay,
because
so...
One of the pitchers hit Shane Victorino in the back. And now every time Shane Victorino came out on the field, they booed him because he went back to say, like, what are you doing?
Okay, so, like, anyway. We've been doing this ministry here for 20 years, and you're on, and you feel like you need to address that meanness in the Giants right here on the air. Is that
I
right,
Linda? I just wanted to say go Phillies because there's a lot of Christians on the Phillies team, and I just think
right.
The Lord's going to bless them.
Are you on the drill team? Are you on
well.
The... Are you
anyway,
on the Philly drill team, Linda? Is that the deal? You're one of the dancers on the drill team or something? No?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right.
This is a problem. I had called you guys before, and I had a problem with being in a sexual relationship, and that stopped almost 2 years ago, you know, with the Lord's help and His chastisement. And then just recently, you know, I just felt that the Holy Spirit was telling me, try to get off of the pain medication because you've been on it for 8 years now. And I use that verse that all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And I changed doctors, And this doctor, even though he's not a Christian, he is Phillies fan, though, but...
so it makes him okay.
Crazy. But yeah. Anyway, he is helping me. And, you know, I didn't know if I really still had pain. But as I'm off of the oxycodone, and I don't have pain. But here's my problem. There's so many people still gossiping about me in my church. I go to a really, really big church.
Why are they gossiping about you?
They're still gossiping about the sexual addiction. And so even though different people have called me and invited me to things.
How did they find out about your sexual escapades?
And I watch TBN and I listen to, you know, three different pastors on Sunday and I read my Bible.
Hey, Linda. Hey, Linda, can you hear us?
Hold on, Linda.
Hello.
That sets them free.
Linda, we want to just ask you.
It's a really good book.
Real quick question, Linda. Henry?
Yeah, Linda, can you hear us when we're talking to you or not?
Yes.
You can.
Okay.
No, you can.
Okay, that might be a cue to, like, stop talking, because we're asking you a question.
Okay.
But I didn't hear you say that, do that.
Oh, you did. Okay. You didn't
no,
hear
we didn't
us.
Think
okay.
so.
All right. We were wondering, now, this church that you're thinking about going, how did everybody know about your sexual escapades? Why is that all over the church?
Well, it was only one, but see that here, I told one woman that was in the over 50s group, and... you know, I should have known better because she gossips, and so they all know. Wow. Then my doctor, who I was going to, who had me on pain medicine, I went to him, and I asked him for help because I thought there was something wrong with me because I'm a Christian, and, you know, like, the desires were so strong, and I was going through menopause, and I know that's a side effect of menopause.
Okay, is that how it got all over the church?
And so, and he told other people in the church.
The doctor?
The doctor did, and I know because there's the chiropractor that works with them said something to me, and the chiropractor said, you know, God forgives you, but other people don't. Maybe you should just stay home.
What?
Well, that's malpractice.
I am not kidding. Another woman came up to me and she said, are you still sinning because it's a bad testimony? And, like, I thought, you know, when people came back, you know,
Steve,
we're supposed
can she hear
to,
you?
I don't know.
The prodigal son, you know.
Linda.
Walking with the Lord.
Linda.
I'm just like, I don't even want to go out of the hell.
I wonder what the listeners are.
Linda?
They're hearing a
okay,
group.
Okay, Linda.
Yes.
Why aren't you thinking about another church?
I did. It crossed my mind. And
good.
Why haven't you gone to 10 other churches to see if you like any of them? It sounds to me you need to switch doctors, chiropractors, and churches.
Doctors.
Yeah.
Okay. So go to a different church now.
And doctors cannot give out your private information. That's against the law.
Go to a different church.
I know that, but what am I going to do? He's a Christian, so, you know.
Well, a lot of
people. That doesn't make it okay.
I just feel paralyzed. I just don't know how. Is it because I'm coming off of the pain medicine?
Linda, I think you just have to move on.
Linda, some of that is true because now you're feeling things that you were numbing out before, and so the feelings are going to be exaggerated.
Yeah.
They're going to feel bigger than what you can handle, and so it's going to be hard to tolerate. So I think it would be a good idea to go someplace new. Perhaps get involved in a Christian 12-step program where they take confidentiality seriously, but they also embrace you right where you're at.
Right. All right. Let's go to Tara from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WORD. Hello, Tara.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm just going to ask my question and then kind of sit back and listen as I am driving.
Okay.
The question that I have really pertains to the issues of lust and love.
Okay.
And just it's out there on the Wives in the Battle website. A lot of wives have the same issue, and just really wanted the counselor's opinions on this.
Okay.
Is it possible that our husbands, who are sex addicts, can actually have a caring relationship with one of, or more than one of, their affair partners?
Okay. Well, that'll be a great question for us to ask you. Hold on, and we'll present that to you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Women in the Battle is coming up September 23rd through 25th.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Tara has asked if a husband can care about a lust object. Now,
can we get it out of the theoretical, Tara?
Yeah.
Why do you?
What's
why,
going on?
What's happening?
It's basically the point of contention that I'm having the biggest issue with. He went to an EMB conference in Philly a couple weeks ago, and he came back with full disclosures that not actually full. They've been more like trickling. Because 28 years is a pretty long time. But actually, we've been married the past 13, and 3 years of that 13, there was a object of desire is what I have been referring to her as. She did have a physical affair with a coworker, and again, I know the whole
she did or he did.
Sick.
She who had the
I'm
affair?
Sorry?
Who had
I'm
the
sorry?
Who had the affair?
My husband and his coworker.
Okay, but that the coworker is not the one you're talking about, or is?
No, she is. She is. But I'm almost speaking for a lot of the women on the forums and whatnot on Every Wives Battle. It's something that's kind of tossed around, and we don't have any, I guess, you know, psychological counseling training to address it. But in one aspect, everything is lust is the opposite of love. But then why the phone calls and why the text messages? Why not just sex? Why not just a prostitute? Why somebody relational?
Well, I mean, but hold on a second. Let's just treat it purely as an addiction and move backwards from there. If somebody were a gambling addict or a drug addict, you would see massive activity in texting to their dealer and hyper-involvement of hiding from life and this, that, and the other. So that doesn't mean anything one way or the other. Okay, the addiction would take over its own space, no matter what the addiction was, and that's the definition of addiction. It eats up more and more of life and energy. Now, that's a
so
separate
anything
question.
Associated with it is going to be part of the addiction.
Right, right. So, he's just after the next fix, and somebody would do that for a drug as well. But to your question. It's even a little trickier than that because there's this middle space, I think, where if you had the purity of the definitions of lust on one end and love on the other, And you're saying, well, you know, gosh, I feel a little better because I know that he's just really after lust and it's really not love. But to the addict, sometimes they can feel like the object of lust is love because right. that's how shallow they are.
That's what they think is love, right. yes.
Yeah, so what you've got to do in the recovery end of this is transcend that, and that's hard to do, to a mature position and recognize that when he's acting out from that part of his personality, you're dealing with a very sick, immature mind that is confusing the two and doesn't really know what love is.
See, it's to the degree that this person makes him feel good about himself, gives him that IV drip of I'm a great guy.
That's a good way of putting it.
That then fuels those, you know, imaginary love feelings.
Plus, I think he tries to convince himself, if he's like many addicts, this really isn't about sex. This is mm-hmm. really someone I care about, and I just
really, he's the complete opposite. He said, this is all about sex. It's all it ever was. The whole relationship was based on sex. It was in the back of my car. It was in the men's bathroom at work. She was a harlot, but I was walking down the street.
All right.
You know, I was walking
that,
after her from
that
day
is very,
one.
Tara, that's
she
very
was
possible.
Out there living in that whorehouse, and so I was yep. walking down the street. Yep. So there it was, a perfect match.
Okay, so that's now what's he doing?
But so, it's so hard for me as not okay. a sex addict, but a very relational right. person. Even but, imagine that right. for 3 years of the, how could there right. not be relationship? Okay. How could there not be emotions
right.
involved with a 3-year texting, calling, even when sex wasn't present, when we moved out of the state even, 1,500 text messages a month. How can that not
so
be
so that's what you're wrestling with.
And he's like, you don't understand my sex addicted mind. You just right. don't. Everything
Tara,
was about sex.
Tara.
Everything.
So what's he done since then?
He is in a group twice a month, EMB. He's mm-hmm. on the phone once a week through the 12-step. He's done full disclosure. He does the whole balance of the eyes and all that stuff. But he's like, for me, it's bigger. It's a change of heart. Because of the amount of porn he has seen since he's been 6 years old, he seriously says, I can't even change the girls' diapers because of what the images that come into my head. He said, you don't fantasize. I don't put them there. He said, but I swear I see, mm-hmm. I mean, with mm-hmm. crap, I see their body part, and
you.
I have a thought.
Now, mm-hmm. it sounds like he's being very honest with you, and he's trying to take care of that. But it sounds like that you mm-hmm. really have a lot of anger still over this, mm-hmm. which would be understandable. Are you doing anything for yourself?
Let me just add in here. Tara, you know, you're in the middle of processing all of this. He's been to every man's battle, and you're getting these disclosures. And so now all the feelings are coming up for you. And it makes perfect sense what you described, that for you, in your mind, and especially for us females, the relational is so intertwined. How can he keep it separate? So it, for some, like we were talking about earlier, it is this kind of, you know, they think they're in love. But for some, they really do compartmentalize. And it is a sexual thing. So I think Henry's analogy of the drug dealer, the texting to the drug dealer, is the perfect analogy for this. You know, if he is being 100% honest, which it sounds like, you know, he's been doing the work. And so for you to try to see that his brain processes it differently than yours does.
But that is true. I just feel like if I hear him say one more time, I cared about her as a friend, I'm going to throw up. When I ask, like, what was the level of a relationship? And he's, like, looking at me like, he does not even understand or fathom that.
What do you want him to, why are you going to throw up, and what do you want him to say?
I cared about her as a friend, and I was concerned about her well-being. I can't.
Because she gave him she gave him the drug he needed.
Yeah. What?
Go ahead, Henry.
What are you wanting to hear from him, Tara? We're a little confused.
I really am just trying to. And again, disclosure was only in April, and I have been trickling out since April, and then since Every Man's Battle. But I'm trying to hear truth from somebody who's lied to me consistently, even in the initial stages of disclosure.
Okay, so
of course, when he says he doesn't care and he's a sex addict, I don't know what I want to hear from him. I just want to be able to believe him.
Well, can he say anything at this point that's gonna be the right answer?
Yes, if he says it was simply sex, it was no different than all the people I watched for all the years on porn when you thought I was sleeping or when I was doing this or that, okay, she's just a step up from porn. She's a real fantasy, but okay. It just, that I can handle. That
okay, okay so
nice.
Tara.
But to say she was anything more, I just can't go there. I just can't.
Okay, what happens yeah. then? Because to get through it, you might have to go there. So what happens then?
I have to go through that whole being able to accept it and be willing to, and it's very hard to be willing to accept that he could have been intimate with somebody else when his addiction kept him from being intimate with me.
Right, but Tara,
right.
That,
so if I have to go
Tara,
there, I either have to
Tara,
divorce
what,
him because
Tara,
I can't forgive
Tara,
or stay
Tara,
with him.
Listen. You're kind of creating a scenario that does not exist. See, in your head, what happens is you're saying he couldn't go intimate with me because of his addiction, but he could go intimate with her. And that's what happens in your head. But for the addict, there is no intimate that's pure intimate. See, there is no second husband that you're getting hurt by that has a pure love for this other woman or any other woman. He's an addict.
She's not getting what you weren't getting.
Thank you. That's a better way of putting it.
Does that
she's
make sense?
Not getting what you're afraid that she's getting.
Or that he's deprived you of.
Does that help?
Because that's what hurts. Because then it comes back to you, and it's, what's wrong with me? Why could he give it to this person and not to me?
And he's not giving it to her. And what addicts do is, like Jill said, they compartmentalize. And what he's doing is he's found, the technical term is a part object.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about love objects,
they're not a whole person.
She's a part object. She's not a whole person. So she was not
she's
getting his
only
whole.
Only what she can do for him
right.
in the moment.
Do you know why they broke up?
That's why you don't have to be threatened by her.
Do you know why they broke up, Tara?
Because I found phone bills.
And did he willingly walk away? Did he willingly
I'm
walk
sorry.
Away? Did he willingly walk away once you caught him?
Yeah, he said he's been waiting to be caught.
Yeah.
I caught him with the porn 2 years ago.
Well, that's
ago
a really
and,
good sign.
Then I caught him with the phone bills, and he said that he
yeah.
wanted to be
yeah.
caught.
It's a good sign that he's telling you the
Tara,
truth there about the...
Tara, one of the things that's got... A couple of things have to count here. One is he's coming clean. He's really working on this. But the big thing is he voted with his feet.
Yeah,
and there
watch
are a lot
his
of
behavior.
Men... Yeah, if there was another woman and his heart was involved, he would have gone that way.
You know, I really believe there are a lot of men that are hoping their wives catch them.
Mm-hmm.
They got hooked up. They're miserable. They're ashamed of themselves. They don't know what to do. And when you confront them, it gives them an excuse. And you may be overlooking things. And they really don't want you to. And they're setting you up to catch them. They know it's got to stop. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll help you help them.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. they're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I'm sorry to all of you that are on hold, but John from Chicago WYLL is going to be our final caller today. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. John, are you there? John? I don't think John will be our final caller today. It's going to be Laura. She's going to be our final caller.
Hey, Steve.
On what? Yes.
You could answer his question, though. I saw it on the board.
Well, I want to go to Laura and talk to a live person. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Woodlands, Texas. Family Net is where she watches the program. How could we help you?
Well, I've listened to a lot of the things that the women were saying, which I have. My husband has a lot of those problems. I'm Christian. He's not. We've been going to counseling for 2 years, and I just want to know what I need to do or change about myself to help him, or if I should even stay, because I know what 1 Corinthians says, you know, because there's been physical abuse. He's been arrested for that, and that was a couple of years ago, and ever since that happened, he, you know, he doesn't trust me, and, you know, he says he'll make my life miserable, but he says...
He doesn't trust you because you called the police?
Exactly. He says he can't trust me now because I called the police on him.
Okay. Now, when you said you want
to... Well, actually, he can trust you. He can trust you that if he does anything hurtful, that you're going to do something about it, which is exactly what's needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I should have done it a long time ago.
Laura?
Were you
serious when you said you wanted to know what you needed to change?
Yes, because in February, I was just so exhausted from the constant berating and everything and the fighting. I don't want to fight in front of our children, and so I actually tried to take my own life.
Well,
it didn't work.
Okay, now, have you gotten some support for you since then? Have you changed your relationships?
Delved back into the Bible, and I know God had a reason for it, and I think he was trying to get my attention because I had backslidden, and I think I was falling into his trap, and that's what he liked, and maybe I'm enabling him by just ignoring his behavior. I don't even say anything about it.
Laura?
Yes.
You are enabling him by ignoring his behavior.
But if I say anything, he gets angry.
Okay. So...
Well, that's part of the enabling package. People
that's
don't confront...
part of addiction.
Yeah. People don't confront addicts because the addicts get angry, so they stop confronting.
See, he's trained you through his anger not to talk to him about it. But you don't have to talk to him face-to-face. You can... not be there and talk to him on the phone. You can write him a letter. But all of this that you would talk to him about would be about what you're going to do for your own life's sake.
Right.
You're going to go...
Because I've forgiven him for the affairs and everything,
well,
and I know
he's still involved in them, though.
Yeah.
So why would you forgive him for something he's still involved with?
Because the Bible says to forgive, and I know... I mean, isn't... there something where it says there's a point where you only have to forgive so many times?
But
no.
If the behavior's still continuing, there's new things to forgive, and you just don't forgive blindly. We also confront, and we set boundaries, and we have to make some changes.
You're not at the place where forgiveness is as appropriate as effective action would be. I don't want to enable evil anymore, and I don't want to excuse anything. So now what are my options? Well, if he's such an angry, violent person that in person you can't confront him, and he would never leave. See, a long time ago, I think you guys should have separated for your own safety's sake.
Okay.
Because it's either shut up or you're in danger.
Well, we've been going to counseling for 2 years, and he's on different medications and everything, and he's gotten better. I mean, he hasn't hit me or anything in a long time.
Okay, so now what about with the counselor? You saying, I've been thinking about these affairs that my husband has on the computer, the emotional affairs.
Right.
And I'm just not willing for us to do that anymore, for him to do that anymore.
Well, he doesn't admit to it, though. He says that's not what he's doing, that he erases his history. And
then you say to the counselor, I'm really afraid that my husband's involved with women online. And when I talk to him about it, he doesn't seem to care that I'm concerned about that. He just defends himself. And I want him to care, at least.
Or he blames it on the kids.
Mm-hmm. So
he'll say one of the kids did it.
So defensiveness and blaming, that isn't somebody who's owning their behavior and working on it and wanting to repair a marriage.
Right.
Right.
So it's not about whether he was or he wasn't. He's not, you know, in a place of moving towards you in a positive way to work on the marriage.
So what do I do? The Bible says to let him leave.
Well
yeah, I think you're talking about a couple of different
mm-hmm.
issues. One of the things that is probably more apropos to this is the question of discipline. You know, there are limits and interventions and discipline. If you go to Matthew 18, for example, it says if somebody sins against you, you talk to them. And if they don't listen, then you bring other people in. And if they don't listen to them, then you get stronger with it. So I think what you got to figure out is, you know, certainly we always forgive, but forgiveness has to do with the past. You're involved in a current and
right.
a future question. And that's where you've got to add some protection for yourself and some limits and some demands for accountability. And
it's almost
that doesn't mean you're not being forgiving.
Yeah, Laura, it's almost like you're using passages from the Bible to not do anything.
Well, I just don't know what to do, and I don't want to go against God.
Right. Well, forgiveness, in you know, at the wrong time becomes enabling.
Right.
Right? So you're enabling by doing nothing. So I think we've been saying it's time for you to take some action. You know, find the safe route. Go through the counselor. Talk to your counselor. And
okay.
take some steps. Because is this the type of marriage you want?
No, it's not.
Okay. So just,
I love my husband and I pray for him. I would love for him to be saved.
Okay.
Our son's saved. Our daughter's not.
Tell him you love him. And therefore, you want more of a marriage with him. One that isn't about deception mm-hmm. and distance.
All right. Well, I am praying that the first thing that you would do, Laura, is get on the phone. Well, I'm going to put you through to somebody to talk about the Women in the Battle workshop. You need to be there. This is for you. You have been so affected by his lack of sexual integrity. I just hope and pray that you can go. Because it's for women just like you, and that'll be the beginning of a whole new life. And I do fear that you're using some verses that just allow you to be the same. And I think God's got something pretty spectacular for you, far beyond any of this. So hold on. 1-800 New Life is the number to call. 1-800-639-5433. I'll get the numbers right here in a minute. Please call us if you can help us or we can help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. We'd love to hear from you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.